Most people don't know much about frogs. Most people don't really care about frogs, I'd say. Just because they're small, you don't see them. They're not charismatic like, a koala or a beautiful big bird. And I feel like this is the real beauty of Frog ID, is that we're seeing how many thousands of people across the country are actually really passionate about getting involved and contributing to us understanding more about the conservation requirements.
This is the eighth iteration of Frog ID Week. Can you tell me about how the event started and how it's grown over the years?
So Frog ID is a free smartphone app and citizen science project that was developed by the Australian Museum to kind of map and monitor frog distributions all across the country and over time. And so Frog ID Week itself is held annually around the same time each year, so first/second week of November. It's kind of the peak breeding season for most of Australia's frogs, not all of them, but the vast majority. And it's the time of year when we ask as many people as we possibly can to get outdoors, listen to frogs, and record them with the app so that we get this kind of yearly snapshot of how the frogs are doing.
Why did you decide to get involved?
I got involved in Frog ID in 2021 when I started studying my honours in the team. So I was looking at how habitat kind of influences frog call variation in a specific group of frogs called the banjo frogs. And there's so much to do, so much to learn that I've kind of stuck around since then.
This is Australia's biggest citizen science project, and it's also the world's largest frog count. What sort of impact has the initiative already had?
Just through Frog ID recordings alone, we've published many different scientific papers looking at all range of different ecological questions, like how habitat influences frog calls, how they're responding to urbanisation, climate change. But also, using Frog ID recordings, we've managed to describe 13 new species of frogs.
What exactly are you listening out for in those recordings? And is it difficult to distinguish the species, especially when you're discovering new ones in the process?
It can be quite difficult when you're listening to frog calls. Even though all of our frogs make unique calls, some do sound quite similar, and some do like to, do different things with their calls just to confuse us. So when we listen to a recording, we're identifying the species that are calling and we let the user know what they've heard. And it can be anything from one frog call, no frog call sometimes, if some people record insects or birds which sound very similar to frogs. But we've had up to 13 species calling in recordings, and oh my goodness, that is just insane. It's very difficult when we get such large choruses.
Are there any particular species that you're hoping to catch your calls from this year?
So we're always looking to hear more from our poorly recorded or threatened species. There are way too many to get into now, but some of my favourite, including the Davies tree frog in New South Wales, or the Copland's rock frog up in Northern Territory, WA, Queensland. But something else we're quite passionate about and we're really looking forward to is kind of improving our spatial coverage this Frog ID week. Even though overall we've collected over 1.3 million records of frogs, this is only actually from 40% of the country. So that's 60% of Australia where we basically don't have much of a clue what's calling and how the frogs are doing.
So which parts of Australia remain underrepresented in your database?
Well, for the most part, anywhere regional, remote, especially around the centre of Australia. But we've actually highlighted a few special spots that we think will get sufficient rainfall this year to really kind of, help people get out there and actually hear the frogs. So for example, up in the Northern Territory, we're looking for more recordings from the Beluan area. In Queensland, we're really hoping to hear more from the Woodjal Woodjal area. In Western Australia, really anywhere in the Pilbara or the Kimberleys.
Why should First Nations communities get involved?
I think that First Nations communities should be getting involved because we really have this deep understanding and knowledge of our country and our land. So we have this knowledge, this deep traditional knowledge going back generations. And, the only way to share this knowledge is to pass it on to new people, to pass it down. And so, yeah, it's just a perfect way to get involved and share this knowledge.
Has your background as a First Nations scientist influenced your work in conservation and ecology?
My research interests are often largely around how First Nations communities are really vital in frog ecology. And for me especially, I'm quite passionate about Indigenous protected areas, where we're using traditional management techniques, where we are caring for country. And I feel like this is something that's really underrepresented in scientific literature, and it's something that I think you know, we need to explore a lot more.
And why frogs? Why is this the species that people should care about?
Frogs, they definitely are the most threatened group of vertebrates. About one in five frog species are threatened with extinction. But, and so I'd also imagine that most people don't know that we have such massive diversity in this country. So we have 259 native species of frogs all across Australia, plus, you know, the introduced cane toad, which we're not quite so happy about. But they're so vital in the ecosystem. And they're also really important bioindicators. So because they live in land and water, they are really good at telling us how the ecosystem is going. And, you know, the more frog species, the more diversity you have, you know, it's a really good indicator that you have a super healthy ecosystem.
It sounds like you've studied many frogs over the years, but do you have a favourite species?
That's nearly impossible to answer. I have so many favourites. One of my favourites is the sunset frog. It's only found very small distribution over in the Walpole area of WA, and they are just beautiful. They honestly, they look like a sunset on legs. They're this beautiful gradient of like a vibrant violet blue to beautiful orange. It's just gorgeous.
There were significant floods along parts of the New South Wales coast earlier this year. Do you anticipate this will affect parts of the snapshot?
Probably won't. So frogs that need the flooding rainfall to start calling, they need it when they call. Like they'll know the rains are coming, they'll know the floods are there, and they will pop up out of the ground and start calling just for a very brief period of time. But that's why also it's important to remember that while Frog ID Week is this 1 week snapshot, Frog ID actually does run year round. So even if you're in, you know, a poorly recorded area and you can't get any frogs now, you still keep your ears out when the floods are happening, when there's a lot of rainfall, because you might still be able to record for us.
The frog count is running from Friday the 7th to Sunday the 16th of November. How can people get involved?
Yeah, it's actually super simple. So the Frog ID app is free to download. All you have to do is download, make your account, agree to our safe frogging guidelines. So, you know, don't touch the frogs if you can help it. Try not to disturb their environment. And then literally any time you hear a frog calling, open up the app. There's an in-app recorder and you use that and then just send it through to us. Nothing more. We'll tell you what you've heard. We'll send you all your results back.